Bengals roll here. Team Power is our sponsor this hour.
Nice.
Do you want to ask me anything annoying?
Well, I'm like sitting here going, Team Power. Well, I know I needed that Kubota tractor.
Because they're the really good ones.
Yeah.
The orange ones.
I'm trying to figure out if I need Team Power yet.
You do. You do, because your mower probably has to be serviced because it's almost spring. Well, sometimes it's spring and sometimes it's winter. We're not really sure what day it is these days. So mower serviced, tractor serviced, sales parts, all that good stuff. Bill will be back to the real commercial next time. Phone number is 530-226-9226, and they are located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. And they do all the stuff about tractors. Doesn't have to only be Kubota, but they've got Kubota, John Deere, all sorts of stuff. So
would this commercial be airing in
Roland and
San Francisco?
Mostly not.
Yeah.
They don't really mow anything. I think I think all their lawns are actually, I don't think they have any. Didn't they kill them all when Jerry Brown told them to?
Yeah, well, that was right. That brown is the new green.
Brown is the new green.
No
That's
one can
right.
And water their lawn.
We hung on to ours.
Because climate change and global warming, we've got to, you know, be limited to 55
gallon. We have to destroy everything.
And be limited to 55 gallon barrels for our water. Yeah. Like, what are you going to do when you have guests over for Christmas and you're limited to 55 gallons per person?
I just want to know how they're going to measure it.
Smart meter of some sort.
But on us? So yeah. What if I go over to your house and I use some of your water?
Yeah.
Do you have to fill out a report? Can you imagine?
All because of global warming, climate change, guys. And that's why we have Dr. Willie Soon on today.
Yes. And we've called today Sunlight is the Best Disinfectant for the Climate Hoax with Dr. Willie Soon because, honestly, he's an expert on the sun, which is pretty exciting, since we never really hear any actual science about the sun. That's always glossed over. It's a non-issue. I do believe Dr. Soon would debate that with us, but we wouldn't debate the other side, so it'd be kind of one-sided. We'll just cheer him on while he talks. I have put a ton of information. I wouldn't even begin to read all of this, but there are all sorts of attacks online, so maybe you don't want to read the bio because you think that might be boring because he's a scientist, but it's really not. That's pretty amazing, actually. You will definitely enjoy all of the information about the debunking. Just stunning when you read through this stuff. You look at what they have said about him, and yet the Harvard Smithsonian is publicly defending him. But just over and over and over, he has tons of credentials. It's all very well footnoted. And it links you directly to the Heartland Institute and his bio there.
Yeah, and Dr. Willie Soon is, to me, really just, it's like an honor to know him. Dr. Willie Soon, it's an honor to know you.
And I want you to know Debbie talks about you all the time. She's always telling me, you got to get him on the show.
It's
so funny.
I know, embarrassing, but... Well, she's a very good friend, really. So,
I pinch myself because the friends who he's already mentioned, you know, he's talked about. Sorry to talk as if you're not here, Willie, but but the friends that he's mentioned so far are friends that people I've met and have gotten to meet through Dr. Willie Soon, whether it's showing up to a conference that he's speaking at or in emails. I get, you know, I don't know how many dozens of emails from Dr. Willie Soon and all these Dr. Patrick Moore, Mark Morano, all these, you know, these experts in their field. It just goes on and on as far as the number of scientists who Willie is bringing together. And I'm not a scientist, but
have you stayed at Holiday Inn Express?
Oh, yeah, I have.
Debbie,
oh, there you
don't,
go.
Don't forget Lord Christopher Monckton, our dear friend.
Oh, and of course, yes, Dr. Lord Monckton, who's Aaron has had
and
on her.
And he's tons of fun.
Yeah, he is. Aaron's met him several times.
You know, it's funny. It's interesting. I do find that there is a trend, though. The people who really care about actual science and who are fact-based people are a lot of fun. The other guys, not so much. A lot of doom, gloom, and anger.
Yeah. For sure. You know, and it's just interesting. Why don't people like Willie or Al Gore debate people?
Well, why? We all know that.
You know, and that's what the person, the average person out there who is kind of falling victim to all this stuff, Dr. Willie Soon, why aren't they asking these basic questions of, you know, if you know, climate change and global warming is real, then why are they so afraid to debate the so-called climate change deniers? And I get the answer is because they don't want to, because they would be exposed. But the other thing is, I know they're hanging on to their legacy. Could you imagine being someone like Al Gore or Michael Mann, and you have children and grandchildren, and your legacy is riding on these lies, whether you believe them or not? They are not provable. Like you say, how is man causing global warming? They just say the same old talking points, but there's nowhere that they could say, see, look at this area of the globe. This is caused by man, you know, because man is breathing and carbon dioxide is coming out. But their legacy depends on it. So could you imagine, Dr. Willie Soon, all of a sudden your science coming out and it being accepted, it makes them look like fools.
Yeah, totally blows their whole deal.
They're done.
Yeah, it's a very sad situation. Yeah, indeed. They've gone too far and gone too deep. With maybe initially they start up with some good intention, but I really doubt it by now. As a scientist, I often, you know, to tell you the truth, to practice science in an honorable way, there is some basic rule. You have to give everybody's hypothesis a benefit of the doubt. You really do have to entertain, no matter how wacky it sounds, you have to test it out. You have to actually even have the courtesy and the humility to show them why they are wrong and explain to them in a right way, so you don't have to invoke any emotion or personality and all this other stuff. So the rule of the engagement is very, very clear. But clearly that those guys are not all the same beast. All they do is basically going out there and say that Willie Soon's work is all condemned and dead man or whatever. All this stuff is so debunked and so on and so forth. I mean, it forces me to even, of course, I think that this must be a serious joke, because if you're so smart, oh my God, Michael Mann, how I wish that we can have a chance to debate, just you and me. Because now he only wants to pick guys like Judith Curry, who's also part of the camp, who actually insists that this CO2 could do something. And then they have guys like Patrick Moore is more on our side, of course. He's much more hardcore in the sense that all we know is that basically, see, there are several classes of scientists who reach certain kind of conclusion, but of course, you can judge for yourself where the validity is. You need to look at the scientific data. My statement is to the sense that CO2, yes, we know it's a gas that can cause some warmth. The problem is still that we cannot detect it. We cannot find this signature of this carbon dioxide warming the climate system yet. All we know is that it does green the planet. That part we already detected beyond doubt. We have already found that positive effect of this, whereas all these thousands and thousands of negative effects hasn't been even identified by one serious evidence. This is that kind of problem that we are facing. There are few who try to say that, yeah, some of the group has been won, but then those people are so callous in terms of making their claim, because you know why? They're playing with a Beyond Lombok kind of a appeasement standard, which is not judging the data critically. I'm one of those most, again, hardworking scientists who check everything. For example, my most important contribution now for sure, because by now we have the result that we're fairly sure will not change over time, is to ask a very simple question. Okay, how you measure climate? Most people say, okay, well, we use a thermometer station. But then the question is, how good is the thermometer station? Science, you can actually teach that all you want. You can say, oh, it's contaminated by man building structures around this thermometer station and this and that, right? It sounded also persuasive, but that's still not science. You need to show the numbers. You need to show that, okay, if it does that, can you try to remove this effect and see whether how much it costs contribute to the warming that you see? Which means, if you see 100% warming like that, maybe 50%, only 50% of that is caused by this kind of effects, you know, like man building structures, like you're putting a thermometer station, used to be a grassland, now is building all over the place and that kind of stuff. I mean, but you need to show it. So we're very close to trying to publish a paper that is quite substantial, I would say. It is something that, by the way, funded by zero money, and then millions and millions of dollars have gone into their side, continue to uphold that legacy that Debbie was just still talking about. They have to defend that to death. So what they were trying to do, obviously, is trying to make sure that our paper is not seen or heard by anybody. Or internally, they will try to reject it. But if it's any decent journal, any scientific people would look at the paper, they will understand. That's why this is how confident I am. We are on the right track. We're doing the right work. Because I don't need to prove that I'm right. I'm right and wrong. Just the fact counts. I know how to write my paper.
But
I
silencing dissent is topic. Silencing dissent is all the rage. So
yes, that's all they're doing.
Here's a little song we found for you. Our guest today is Dr. Willie Soon, and you should play this show over and over and send it to a friend. We're going to do a lot of environmental shows in April, just because, you know, it's Earth, whatever.
Earth Day is April 22nd.
Yeah, make sure
But remember, April starts off with April Fool's Day.
Well, right. Do like I did when I taught my children, you save all your recyclables and you throw them out on Earth Day. So, what a hater. That was back in the 80s. That was before I truly hated the environmental movement. I just didn't like the idea.
Oh, I hope you have that trees song.
I do.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Got them all. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online. WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears that I cried. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes.
So much.
I have to share.
It's just mind-bendingly endless.
It was
all sung by children, which just made me angry. I don't think I played any of those.
I'm like burning in my seat here. Not because of global warming.
Because I'm staring at you?
Not that
I heard you with my laser eyes?
Not that either. But when I was at the most recent United Nations conference, which is, I think it was COP25, and it was to implement, come up with the rule book of the Paris Agreement. And the Paris Agreement was this agreement under the Obama administration, not under the Obama administration, but under the Obama administration, we agreed as a country to implement implement the Paris Agreement. And the Paris Agreement, for those folks who don't know what it is, was, and Willie, Dr. Willie Soon, we have on the show today, the leading astrophysicist. I mean, we're talking big brains out there. Like, oh my gosh. Like,
and you can tell he's a really good scientist because he's funny.
He's funny.
All the good scientists are always funny.
And he spends his life, you know, not getting paid for a lot of this stuff. He's a Harvard Smithsonian scientist and has all these accolades. But he's being ignored by this global warming.
Maligned, I think. I think ignored
maligned
might be actually kind of a pleasant change for him.
It is a good word, maligned, as in other good people, you know, other good people in the truth movement, the freedom and liberty truth
Hello?
Movement. And who is that? One of the children?
Some child who wanted to sing Save the Earth.
Yeah, somebody.
Oh my gosh, that's so
We're
cute.
We're on a party line. Andy M., is that you?
I love it. But getting back to the children, when I was at the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change conference, which was to implement the rule book for the Paris Agreement, which is how do we live sustainably, like get rid of your cars, get rid of your single-family homes, walk, bike, take public transportation, take over control of water, all these different things to live, to fulfill on the 17 sustainable development goals come by, Aaron's laughing at me right now, that were created by this crazy group, the United Nations, who tampers with temperature and uses computer modeling to make up numbers, including Michael Mann's hockey shtick. But you know, at this
it's a great video,
and the whole
of that,
idea of this rule book is to make up the rules for the global society, which is you and me, all of us, to live by in order to save planet Earth From temperature rise caused by man, greenhouse gases caused by man, driving cars and tractors and having livestock and cows burping and farting and all of that stuff. That's why AOC would like to get rid of my cows. I'm a cattle rancher's daughter. But anyway, all to maintain the global temperature by 5 degrees Celsius. That's like 3 degrees Fahrenheit, Willie, 3.6, something like that. So in other words, if we be good global citizens, or subjects rather, and we live responsibly based on a sustainable development lifestyle, that we could save planet
Earth.
According
to them.
According to them. We could save planet Earth, and in 11 years, life, if we act now, life, planet Earth, will be habitable. If we don't act now, it'll be uninhabitable. But anyway, all that to say that when I was there, at this conference in December, one of the most maddening things to me was all the young people. And I've been to many United Nations conferences, and they co-opted the Poland choir, the youth choir, to come sing a song with this German, famous German singer who's you know, out to save planet Earth because we human beings all suck and we're terrible. She co-opted this youth group to sing a song called Breathe. And all the kids came in with these gas masks. They don't even know. And on the side, they had this big video playing of children and all these climate catastrophes that they were blaming on, you know, man. And these poor children were crying. And prior to them doing this song, they were told, these children, and there were about 20 of them, were told that if they don't get their parents to start acting now, that islands would be underwater. Island nations would be gone in less than 12 years. This is sickening. This is stealing our youth. So that's why I was hot in my seat when I heard that song.
They don't want to face reality. And a lot of those islands, it's just basically what they did to themselves. I mean, they're digging up sands, and these are all coral island reef system. There are so many mismanaged issues, and then they all constantly mixing that up. New Orleans is one of the best examples. It's actually channelization. It's been the sedimentation over hundreds and hundreds of years, right? This Mississippi Delta. It's really, really a lot of this crazy stuff that they're all saying that, you know, oh, it's all related. Nothing to do with it. Okay? It's about, this is really a serious problem because they always are prescribing the wrong solution. And then because they do not want to find the right cause. Right? It's a bit like getting a headache and they chop off your arm and legs, right? Won't even give you an aspirin for your headache. They just keep doing that kind of stuff over and over again and expect all of us to sit around and just agree with them. I mean, it's just mad, totally mad, these people.
Can you give some examples, Dr. Willie Soon, of, so the problem, what is the problem that they are saying is out there? And then what are some, and when we talk they, it's, you know, the other side who's using propaganda and manipulation, the children.
Scare everybody into thinking the world's ending in 12 years.
Yeah, so what's the problem? And then,
I think one of the biggest ones, the new scare, because as some of you may know, factually, that if you were to use the satellite measurement data, which can actually measure the global temperature a lot better than using thermometers sitting around, right? So it's much more accurate. So the satellite could do that, can sample the Earth much better than what we can do by just having thermometers sitting around. And that measurement we have from 79 or 1980 until now, so that's really a long, not so bad. It's a long record now, you know, 40 years. And 30, 40 years. You look at that data. Actually, it's warming, but it's warming by a very tiny amount, actually. And then, if you look more carefully, let's say from a period from about 98 to about, you know, let's say recent years, they actually are not warming at all while the carbon dioxide concentration continue to rise. This is a famous problem where they call it the global warming hiatus. I don't like the phrase either, by the way. One has to be very careful with the language. This is another way in which they get all of us. If we concede the language to them, we lose. Finish. Bye-bye. That's it. Another one that I'm going to talk about is ocean acidification after this. And when they see this thing is actually not warming, they got panic, right? So they see it's not warming. Guess what? Then slowly those topics called ocean acidification started to appear. These are purely invented nonsense, okay? That's trying to say that basically the carbon dioxide, when it get into the ocean, carbon dioxide, get into, listen carefully, it goes into the ocean, they say, it's going to acidify the whole ocean so that all the shell from oyster, from all these other animals is going to die. We're going to dissolve, that's basically. In fact, some of the, they keep using all these marketing terms, ocean osteoporosis, osteoporosis, and so on and so forth. These are actually all essentially made up line, actually. The most dangerous thing, if anybody wants to see whether this makes sense or not, it doesn't matter how many scientists tell you this or that. All you need to know is invoke one of these facts. We know that if we measure the ocean, when you talk about being acidic or basic, in terms of chemistry, you know that you measure this on a scale of things called pH, right? P, small p and capital H. It's actually a measure of hydrogen ions, just basically protons, really. The concentration of proton in the water. If you measure that, so the scale is from 0 to 14. 0 to 7 is considered acidic. 7 to 14 is being basic, right? And they say that, and the ocean water actually is not acidic at all. It's actually on a level about 8 to 9, okay? So it's slightly more basic. They say that because we add this carbon dioxide, we're going to make the ocean, push the ocean pH to towards 7, let's say, right? So it's becoming more acidic. But then if you look at the pH concentration for rainwater, because rainwater has to go through the air and then got pull down some of those SO2, what they call sulfur dioxide. Therefore, the rainwater has very, very high, very low pH, more, a lot more acidic than the ocean water, okay? It's about 5.5. On that unit scale, that's actually about more than 1,000 times than the actually ocean water. So, if they really think that the CO2 from the air that we do from our cars, those things did come out from our cars, from our tractors, so on and so forth. So what? It's making the planet greener, really. But if we're really going to make the ocean water, then does it mean that we're going to outlaw the rain from falling down into the ocean? Because it's more acidic, it's going to mix with the, you know, 1,000 times more than we could actually do with CO2.
I never thought about that.
That becomes awkward,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, if you just phrase it that way, immediately you realize that this is a BS kind of nonsense
that
people are pulling on you. They're pulling a very fast one, okay?
But it is,
and not
all...
only that, they're very deliberate on all this, by the way.
And they're very emotional.
Even in the actual number, it doesn't make sense. But then they have to push it because, you remember, we have environmental law. Clean Water Act, Clean Air Act, all this nonsense from EPA.
Waters of the U.S.
They actually are very worried because do you know that in their actual number and their model, if you double or triple your carbon dioxide concentration in the air, which is actually almost difficult to do, okay? But if you do that, let's say hypothetically, you know how much a pH of the ocean you're going to change? You're only going to change by the unit of 0.1 to 0.1 the most of that unit. So it's basically from 8.3 to 8.2. Okay.
Wow. I'm not a scientist, but even I know
that's
small.
That's a tiny amount, by the way.
We have to take a really quick break on this.
Hold that thought.
Sure,
and,
sure.
And we'll come back with some true environmentalism after the commercial. I do believe you'll recognize this, the audio from, say, shows in the past, and we haven't played it enough, so we're going to treat you with it today.
Oh, treat?
In honor of Dr. Willie Soon.
Treat.
Yeah, that was my spoiler alert. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Of North Carolina, an extremist eco-group called Earth First bewails the violation of American nature.
I want to mourn the loss of all the old growth trees I've seen!
I love her. her. She's my favorite.
And tell them that we love them and that we don't want them to die. That there are some people here who do care. So I want you to know that, trees. That we care.
And the tree says,
I think we are deeply hurting in America. I think we are deeply craving answers. I think that we've lost our identity as we have evolved into technology and into industrialized society. Bring me to this cathedral. Bring me to those guys. Bring me to this rock that has the most incredible life. That makes me feel alive.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest, and I've felt outraged, but I didn't scream and I didn't cry. And I need to.
Countdown to absolute joy. There you go.
Wow, that's very disturbing. What's going on?
You know, the only thing better than listening to that is watching it.
You'll have to send
and,
it.
And we posted the video online. That's like the 1970s, early 70s.
And they were serious.
They were totally serious. Oh, yeah, you got to see them. They're totally serious. We weren't. Of course, we were mocking them again. But it's just what makes us feel better.
You know, I can't wait, Aaron, for it's the just propaganda to come out prior to Earth Day. You know, we just had World Water
Day
in March, and in April is Earth Day. And you know, the original Earth Day was back in March, and they changed it to Lenin's birthday, communist Vladimir Lenin's birthday.
Oh, I thought it was closer to their pot holiday.
No. So interesting. So interesting that every year we celebrate Earth Day is the birthday of communist Marxist Vladimir Lenin.
Well, I mean, they've been manipulating people emotionally on these on this topic. I mean, pick your topic. You know, the trees, the polar bears, the all these different things.
The ocean acidification, the pH that Dr. Willie Soon was just talking
just
about.
Just crushed.
Yeah.
And hey, okay, tell me this. I heard, I don't know who it was we had on here, Leighton Stewart, that's who it was. I love him. He's the most fun man. And
oh, yeah, Texas.
Yeah, he's great. And he said, that's something I never could forget. He goes, okay, so if CO2 is a pollutant and somebody is having a medical situation and you have to do CPR on them, and anymore we don't do the breathing part of CPR, we don't breathe into them, but we used to. We did it for years and saved tons of lives. So we operate in, like, what is it, 400 parts per million of CO2, and when you breathe out, it's like 40,000. It's a huge number.
Right. 40,000 versus 400. Yes.
Yeah, okay. I knew the numbers were easy, which was, like, helpful. So we were literally breathing 40,000 parts per million into other human beings. If it was a pollutant, they should have died instantly.
Yes.
So
you got to crack
it. It's just crazy.
You got to laugh at it,
involuntary chuckle there.
No, they created all kinds of crazy stuff, actually.
It's like,
even in
that.
The actual scientific papers, they are able to play this pretend game. I mean, I don't know. I really tell you the truth is that as a scientist, I'm very, very serious. I mean, I look at it, I'm really appalled. What happened? How come? I mean, how come all of these people who is supposedly some so-called serious scientist from all of these world-famous universities, this and that, member of this Academy of Science or Royal Society, this and that. I'm so glad that none of those kind of titles makes any effect on my head. Or you know, at least I don't fancy myself to want to be a member of those kind of club. You know?
Good call.
It's just so nonsense, actually.
You know, Dr. Willie Soon, I'm going to bring up professor of philosophy and bioethics at New York University. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Here's what to combat global man-made, anthropogenic, global warming, climate change. Here's what he suggested, and I know you know all about this, Dr. Willie Soon. Mm-hmm. He suggested that we take drugs to help us avoid eating meat. And he also suggested that we genetically engineer human beings to have cat-like eyes to reduce, because cats can see at night, to reduce the need for light for lighting.
I thought it was just going to make us taste like chicken.
He also went on to say that we should geoengineer human beings to be smaller. so that we don't use as many resources. We have smaller clothes. We have, you know, smaller chairs and all
Midget wrestling makes a comeback.
So all these things, you know, that people are proposing, you know, dramatically changing our lives as Alexandria.
And people are afraid to eat genetically modified foods.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Then they say those things are bad.
But then you have these technocrats, if you will, you know, coming around telling us that we need, in order to save planet Earth, you know, in 11 years, we're going to have to move away from cattle and beef. By the way, as a cattle rancher's daughter, everything. Did I say everything?
How many things?
Everything. We are touching right now, was brought to us, has some sort of livestock byproduct in it. If you're listening to this radio show, if you're driving right now, you are using livestock byproducts. So I don't care. Don't eat meat. But you're still using the products from my cow.
Tires have livestock byproducts.
Tires, insulation, sheetrock, lubricants in your cars, lubricants that let Al Gore's private planes land on that airstrip, which also has livestock byproduct. Your cell phone. If you're into guns and bullets, the fatty tissue of livestock byproduct helps round out the ammo so that it goes through the gun more efficiently and smoothly and whatever else you want to say. Same with machinery. So, you know, they're proposing these crazy radical ideas, even getting people off their land, you know, in rural America. It's a big deal, isn't this, Dr. Willie Soon?
Sorry?
If he says no, Debbie's coming for you. Just say yes.
I said, this is a big deal.
Of course. This guy is completely mad, and they're going to promote him to a full professor. That's where the danger comes in. This is why when we were talking about Michael Mann in the early days, by the way, I got my PhD much earlier than him. He got his about 95, 96. And as soon as he got his PhD, we immediately say that he's going to be a big, big problem. he's gonna hang around for a long time.
Oh, really?
With his skill to sell this BS, that with his skill with getting funding from National Science Foundation and all this other group who worship him. By the way, all those things shows up in the Climate Gate emails, where you can clearly show that they are all colluding with each other. They were even colluding to try to debunk so-called my paper, and then when we reply it, they never show our paper. And all working with the American Geophysical Union, which is indeed the world's largest earth sciences organization. They work with each other, commission them to write a paper to attack me, so on and so forth. It's kind of fun to watch them doing this. So childish, actually. And then when they write, their argument doesn't even make sense. It's a bit like they're having their pants down and then they're still saying, look at me, I'm so smart. Really couldn't
the old
get this.
Emperor's new clothes
story. People are really insane, you know. They really think that they can bring a normal guy like myself down like this.
I'm sorry, Dr. Willie Soon. I have seen Dr. Michael Mann, and to picture him with his pants down to me is not very pleasing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Bad news bears. No video will be on the website of that.
Don't show me his stick either.
The old hockey stick. Oh, it comes back to that.
Oh, this guy just now he's used. You know, can you believe the amount of worshiping and all these people who actually doesn't know the technical details of how many crazy stuff he did in terms of making this hockey stick, and then he just continued to have this group of people who just gonna go down with him together. They're gonna divide the world into two. That's simple, actually, for me. That's it.
For those who don't know, the scam behind, we hear about the hockey stick all the time. Can you share with us what is the scam behind this hockey stick analogy?
It's just basically the question to ask is basically, how does the temperature of the planet change over the last 1,000 years? It's a very simple question. And then, of course, in science, it's also how large is the changes, right? According to Michael Mann, who done through a lot of magic trick, which we can explain in a minute, is that the temperature curve looked like this. It looked like a handle of the hockey stick from 1000 to about 1900 AD. So flat. Even if it changed very small, no more than 0.1 degrees Celsius. So very small. It's almost like a stick, flat line. And then when you reach 1900, boom, it shoots up like a blade of the stick. So that's how it's called a hockey stick, right? But the real temperature history I myself went into this. As soon as we, by the way, he published this paper in 98 and 99. And in 98, he was publishing the history of the paper for 600 years. So it's from 1400 to 2000, right? And then in that paper in 98, he say that we don't have enough information to go back 1,000 years. And he say because, yeah, there's not enough information, and therefore we stop at 1400. And then no more than 3 months later, he published another paper showing these hockey sticks. You tell me in 3 months what happened. They never worry about this kind of inconsistency and all that kind of crazy nonsense, right? It clearly tell you that the data was done on a political basis.
Which
and
is,
then the
which
real
is
picture,
not,
obviously,
not data.
As some of our readers may have heard about Greenland. You know, Greenland was green once. 1,000 years ago, it was green, actually. The glacier retreated, so certain coasts, the especially the southwest and the southeast coast of Greenland, were clear where people can have church, actually. They have green grass, so they have animals eating there, right? And then Vinland, you all may have heard about Vinland in Nova Scotia. Those places are all warm. And many, many other places, if you think about the civilization in Southeast Asia, Angkor Wat in Cambodia, in Brazil, in Argentina, all the forests expanded. In New Zealand, they always say, oh, this hockey stick, this medieval warm period is a European phenomenon because it's only warm in Europe, it doesn't warm anywhere else. Uh-uh. In China, you have the Song Dynasty, okay, 1,000 years ago. It was warm. Society and all this stuff was actually growing during the warm period.
And this was
long
before
like
SUVs.
That.
We'll be right back. Let's
crazy.
Finish that out when we come right back. Our guest is Dr. Willie Soon. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
I am the river.
About the pole out there. Don't talk to me about the ozone layer. Ain't so much of anything these days. Even the air, they're running out of rhinos. What do I care? Let's hear it for the dolphin. Let's hear it for the trees. Ain't running out of nothing. You know, I think for reeds. It's casual entertainment.
Those are my kind of parts.
The sad thing is, you know the lyrics
I do.
To all these songs.
Dire Straits.
It's just, I mean, Aaron, I'm shocked. I think you are an underground.
The scary part is, I mean, I was born, 1961? So all these songs are, well, many of them, most of them, except for that tree crying thing. Cut that out.
You're not claiming
and,
that one.
Yeah, I haven't listened to I Am the Earth either. That was new last night. Gave me bad dreams. But all those songs we listened to growing up. But never thought of them in this context.
Right.
And so much of that music, you go revisit it, and it's like, I have a song for that. So back to the temperature, Dr. Willie Smith.
Yes, yeah.
Roll on.
They actually show that, and then whereas the reality really contradicts what he says. And it turns out that the main mistake of that temperature history record produced by Michael Mann is that I often say, by the way, I wrote a very clear paper in 2003 on that. That's where they become, by the way, that's where my trouble all begins, because I dare to speak out against Michael Mann. And I have to tell you, from 98 And 99 to 2003 is a long time, isn't it, for scientists? It's a long, long time. I was waiting for somebody to do something and write and say something, because most people know what is wrong with that results, okay? It's just mainly that nobody realized. This guy is very skillful, by the way. He produced this record, right? And then, you know what? It's only 1,000 value, right? If you put it year by year, he make it look like, so he make all this value public so everybody can make the chart and scale it any way you want, put any color you like. And so, quote unquote, popularize it, right? So everybody use it without even asking why this thing is true or not. And then, of course, it's published in some prestige journal called Nature, you know, that sort of thing. It's a bit of Nature. A social skill and this sort of crazy stuff about scientism, which is not science, which is called the practice of science without actually doing science. And so it spread like a wildfire. Everybody loved these things. Oh, because they felt that they understand something. But the problem is that that result is not actual data at all. When you give people data point, normal people think it's a data. It's not actually. It's a mathematical product because he used a mathematical filter to make this time series. He claimed that he put in a lot of data from all over the place, let's say all over Northern Hemisphere. But it turns out that he put, let's say, 100 stations, okay, all across Northern Hemisphere, some in Europe, some in USA, you know, even one in Greenland, let's say. But then, in terms of this 100, 99% of the station, he give a weight, you know, like a weight to a series, how much should I account for it? Mm-hmm. He don't give it one unit to all to every single one of them. He make every single one of the 99 very, very small, like less than 0.1%, let's say. Then he put 99% of that on one station, one location, which is in the southwest of the United States. And that data has come from a place. No wonder this problem is called a Bristol cone pine problem. Bristol cone, as you all know, this pine can live for thousands of years. Okay? And the problem is in that data is that data itself is flawed, okay?
Total manipulation.
And they have a three-ring expert on his team, so he make it look like he know what he's talking about, okay? And just imagine you play these kind of tricks. And then two smart Canadians, which is my friend, Stephen McIntyre and Ross McKittrick from Canada, work out the mathematics and say that, okay, what if I try to do using the same mathematical algorithm? If I throw in just noise, don't even need the real data, what do I get? Guess what the data shows? When you throw in just random noise, okay, you actually get a hockey stick data from that. That shows you that this whole data, this series that he produced means nothing. First of all, it's not a data, it's a product of mathematical algorithm, do you understand? This is how bad things are. No wonder, you see, it's already kind of, you felt that I'm losing. But then you please look more carefully. You can understand this topic. It's not difficult at all. It's the problem that these people are hiding behind so-called math and all these other fancy nonsense. They are basically telling lies, essentially. It's their duty to explain to people what they did, okay? And no wonder. And then when you look at the actual data, actually, I look at it from a different point of view. I say, no, I don't want to average all of this because I know that in climatology, in climate science, first of all, we don't know what is weather and climate in the exact definition. They often say, oh, it's 30-year average of climate, it's 30-year average of weather. Says who, actually? Why not 100? Why not 1,000? These are the questions. It's open. Nobody can answer that question. And I say that, oh, simply because we don't know that, why don't we just look at individual places, individual location? So I collected even more than him. So I got about 400 or 500 places, okay, all over the world. And I don't look at only the Northern Hemisphere. I look in the Southern Hemisphere, too. I show that majority of the station shows that you have a minimal warm period from about 1,000 to 1,200 or so, basically started about 880, okay? You go back another 1,200 years, let's say. You show that this time period is almost uniform warm across the world. And then this guy saying that, no, there's no hockey stick, there's no warm period there. So it looked like a bathtub instead of a hockey stick, do you understand? So I produce a bathtub kind of a result, which, of course, is unpopular.
They made it very so unpopular.
Yes, because I just simply state what I found. And then, and then of course, they don't like it ever since then. They really call me every name that you can imagine. By the way, this is all related to politics. It has nothing to do with Willison being handsome and good-looking and all that stuff, excuse me, it is really having to do with because someone in the Bush administration noticed, actually it's President Bush himself, noticed that paper. Somehow somebody told him. And he hold that paper, my paper up in the cabinet meeting, say, have you told the cabinet member, have you guys read this paper? That stuff, you can, that's the thing that caused me problem, right? Because this, I don't really care about President Bush saying this or what, right? I'm not fighting for anybody. I'm just telling the truth. That's it. And the problem is that then, of course, they have to set up a way to kill Willison as a character, as a human being. Thinking that I'm not a human being, I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm just a normal human being. Love to drink beer, I mean, like to eat, you know what I'm saying? Play some sports and do all the things
well,
that
the,
I do.
The good news is they can't make you stupid, so... That's kind of a bonus.
This is the problem, and all this political stuff get me into all kinds of trouble for nothing, really. For just simply trying to. And by the way, ever since then I work on many different class of problems, including polar bear that got me even more hot water, right? And then now I kind of a bit quiet because you know why? They thought they already murdered me. I'm dead already, so that man walking, what's the problem?
Oh, we've,
so don't worry about it, right?
We're excited to be part of the comeback.
I know, I'm back.
Oh, man.
Bad news for them.
We've got to do this again because we just burned through an entire show. Believe it or not.
Sure.
But we do have a really, our gift to you is the outgoing song because we could make it your theme song. Actually, I think it would be an excellent theme song for you. So we're going to
have our guest,
Dr. Willie Soon on again. We love him. Thank you for coming
love.
On with us.
Like, here's my
You can
heart.
Find all this information Simple. At wethepeopleradio.us.
Stop me now.
If you wanna have a good time, just give me-